Hi guys, in this show, we're looking at Waters, Holiday, Tracy, Maxwell, Lindbergh, Risk, Kupo, and Isabel. We're looking at 2012's American Mary.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of 100 Things We Learned From Film. I'm one of your hosts, my name's Plant E, and John, honey, don't be a cunt.
And as he says, I'm the other guy, John, and I'm his willing victim. Is that a thing?
Willing victim?
Willing victim?
John's at that age when he's not high, he's a bitch all the time. One of the best lines all in the whole film. John, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. It's blowing a hooly outside in Scotland, so it's no that bra.
It's warm though, isn't it? It's
10 degrees. That's it's taps off.
It's taps off. For the last time, we'll be saying that.
Aye. My look is it's boiling as well, which is annoying.
I hope that's not a euphemism.
No, just the way it is.
John, this week we're doing some spoopy stuff because we promised we would, but we're doing something that not everybody's doing. What film are we talking about?
American Mary. I'd heard about it, but I'd never actually
watched
it.
Oh, had you never seen it?
No.
Oh, it's an absolute favourite in this house, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh, Rachel loves this. Yeah. She was day one in the cinemas for this.
Jesus. Bloody
yeah,
Mary.
Can you believe it? I know. You're not wrong. Yeah. What year was this one?
So this is 2012. Okay. There was a lot out. It all seems to be shit. So one called
Everyone
the
was
Bay.
At the Olympics.
The Bay. Which I believe was like a parasite.
I didn't hate The Bay. I quite liked The Bay. Yeah.
Chronicle.
Is that the superheroes?
Yeah.
The kid Dane DeHaan. I fucking loved that, by the way. Oh,
it was alright, but I don't know what's going on with him. He's a bit of a dick now, isn't he?
Is he? He looks it.
John Carter. Oh man, I feel bad for that.
Oh, John Carter of Mars.
That's a shame. Oh, good seeing that Paranorman. That's good. That's a fan favorite.
Oh, Paranorman's fun, yeah.
Frank and Weenie in Dark Shadows. Man, it's...
Oh, Dark Shadows is fucking dog shit, though, isn't it?
I was just expecting a lot more. Mm. And apparently the most scariest horror that's ever been released, Sinister, which I do not believe.
We had an okay time with it, but it's just, it's quite loud. Quite loud, isn't it?
Aye, and that's how they get you. So that's how people's heart rates go up, because they just fucking shit themselves. So
oh, yeah, I remember your factor that was something about, like, the heart rate fact.
Previous
episode. Listeners,
yeah, yep. Get it watched.
This is super, super low-budget fun, though, isn't it? Gory, silly fun. I had a great time with this. I really did. And I've watched it twice this week. And I feel like I could probably watch it a third time and still see some shits going on. I don't know.
It does leave a lot to imagination, which I quite like.
I was into that. And again, I think it's interesting. Like you say, it's not by the numbers, is it? There's stuff going on here.
Nah, it's good. It's good.
Listeners, as you probably know by now, we're trying to learn 100 things from every film every time we record. We're going to go through and spoil the film, but hopefully come up with some facts that will let you win a pub quiz. If you like what we do, you can give us a quid a month and we will shout you out in every episode. Most months we will be prepared. This week, I am completely unprepared because I was called into work today on a day off. But I am going to be recording something and dropping it in at the end of the show. If you've got something to promote, we will also promote it because we're nice like that. And you will be picking the final episode of our spoopy season. If you are paying Patreon prices, me and John are going to sit down at the end of this and we're going to figure out what's going on. So yeah, if you want to give us some money, it's patreon.com/100things. You can also find us wherever we are at on our website, which is www.100things100thingsweLearnedFromFilm.co.uk. 100thingsweLearnedFromFilm.co.uk. Right, John, are you ready?
Gladiator, ready.
Let's roll. Okay. So I should do a whole episode in that voice at some point.
Nope.
So we see someone cutting and suturing skin to Ave Maria. And yeah. I was kind of like, ooh, that's real old person skin. It wasn't, though, was it?
I know, it was chicken. Which I double checked, and it turns out they actually do practice on chicken breasts and drumsticks.
Right, okay.
So yeah, there you go.
It's Mary, it's the titular American Mary. Spoiler, she's Canadian. Spoiler, everybody's fucking Canadian, except for the one American guy who is strangely English.
I know. What's that all about?
More on that later on. she's in a class. And the next day, her tutor, Dr. Grant, no, not that one, tells her off for having a phone out. He's a real arsehole. Like, he's really fucking, like, awful. Yep. Like, he's swearing in his lessons and things. And I'm like, is he on this podcast?
He's so creepy as well. He just comes across as a creepy bastard.
Well, as we learn later on, spoilers, he's a massive fucking rapist. But what he does tell us, an amputated arm can be replaced in 4 hours, a hand in 8, and a finger as long as 12 hours after it's been amputated.
Yep, I double checked that.
You did. Good work. Fantastic. Facts-wise, this is an Industry Works Pictures, right? An American studio, John, Industry Works Pictures. Canadian studio, rather. Now, I'm not saying it's not a money laundering front, but I have not heard of a single one of these films, including The Manson Brothers Midnight Zombie Massacre, starring Randy Couture and D.B. Sweeney. I'm telling you now, that film doesn't exist, but the drug money that it's made Max Bialystock certainly does exist.
I know. I didn't even look through them, but I was like, I don't know. I couldn't mention any of these because nobody knew what they are.
The only one I knew was American Mary. It's the only one I knew.
Yeah.
It's a Twisted Twins production. Twins, Basil. Twins.
Twins.
Yeah.
Twins.
This pair, the Soska sisters, they're so interesting. They're so, like, kooky and kind of, like... and they're quite tidy as well when they're not got their teeth filed down and stupid accents. The debut film was Dead Hooker in a Trunk, which I've seen. It is cheap. It makes this look like fucking Titanic, man. But they're both in it. Like, one's like the cool hip sister and one's the nerdy dweeby sister, but they both look exactly the same. I think just one of them's got glasses on.
Like Shakespeare's sister?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Were they ever sisters?
No.
One
was in Bananarama, wasn't she? I'm sure. One was Banana.
One was Banana Man.
Okay. Bananarama.
Yeah, Banana. I think you're right. I think this lot, the best thing to come out of Canada since David Cronenberg. They can do it all. So they write, they direct, they've done Marvel comic runs for Black Widow, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Night Nurse.
What?
The character, not the song by Gregory Isaacs.
I was going to go for the medication.
Got you, man. Got you, man. And that's why we make such a good team. After class, he tells Mary off. I think he calls her a fucking bitch or something. He's really horrible.
Yeah,
everybody in this film's horrible, except for one character. There's one character who is a redeeming, lovely, darling of a human being, and everybody else is a fucking prick.
Exactly.
Including Mary. You know, she's horrible, but one nice character. She explains she was practicing on the turkey, and he's like, surgeons don't fuck up. Isn't it? You're like, okay, mate. We learn she's behind on payments and owes at least $364 Canadian to keep her phone service on.
Yep.
She goes back to her apartment, which, by the way, was fucking huge, wasn't it?
It was, honestly, it was like that one for Big. When you see that film Big with Tom Hanks and he goes into that apartment, it's like, fucking hell. It's amazing. But it was massive.
Yeah. She's on the phone to her Eastern European nana, and she's saying she doesn't need any money. She absolutely does.
She needs her money.
All the while she's looking for jobs on the classifieds, isn't it? It's like Canadian Craigslist. Not Craigslist, Craigslist, obviously.
Craig, eh? I looked up that utility bill thing.
All right, yeah.
It always annoys me, the fact that in American, or when you see American films, you always talk as if they've got a lot of leeway. But I double checked it, because it feels as if when we miss a bill, we get cut off for next month.
Yeah.
But yeah, I looked it up, but apparently they can do verbal agreements to pay back stuff, whereas we pretty much, if you don't pay it, it gets cut off and you don't get it back on until you pay the whole lot.
Wow. Imagine us being a more capitalist nation than America.
No. Jesus.
Hard to believe.
Who knew? Richie Sumac.
Indeed. By the time this is released, he won't even be Prime Minister anymore.
True. I'll be back to trust.
In Rod we trust. Nana's going on about kids only wanting to make love and nothing else. She was watching this thing on TV. I love this. She said, we only had one prostitute in Budapest. this woman would be on corner. Now, of course, I assume there's thousands. I've seen Hostel.
Aye, God, aye. That's real life.
The actor, of course, Catherine Isabel. The brilliant Ginger Snaps. In a film that I love. Ginger Snaps is great fun. Don't think I've seen the other three, but I think she's only the other two, but I think she's only in one of them. She was awarded the Fangoria Chainsaw Award for Best Actress in this role.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know who she was up against. The role was written with her in mind. And in 2003, she almost died from a viral infection. That's the first time going viral isn't good, which caused one of her lungs to collapse, as well as kidney failure. She fell into a coma and had to be put on a ventilator.
Well,
that's bad crack. If you want to see more of her, and who wouldn't, me, Joe and James on Hallmark of Greatness talked about a film called Beyond Sherwood Forest, where she plays a were-dragon lady thing, which it's as terrible as it sounds, and it's all filmed entirely in Canada. Of course it is.
Or check her OnlyFans.
What? I was going to say. Okay.
Okay then.
Simping for Catherine Isabel. Yes. Mary sees an ad for a strip club and heads to see Billy, the owner. He takes her out back for an interview and she gives him a resume. She says she's broke and really wants to make money. She takes her coat off and she's basically in a skance.
Yeah.
You're like, wow.
A basking skance.
Yeah, it was like, wow, okay. And then he asks her to walk, and she walks like a fucking open reach engineer. She looks like she's about to fucking get a little tent up in the street.
And he's like, do it, do some more.
There he is. He says, you may want to walk a little more sexy. He requests a massage, and it's like she's making fucking bread.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a cat really, doing that.
It's really bad, isn't it? Like, oh, God. Yeah. I was looking at the average stripper salary.
Oh, right, okay.
In the UK, trying to find it in America is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But average stripper salary in the United Kingdom is 29 grand.
All right, but it's all paid in $1 bills.
It's all paid in $1, yeah. And I'm looking at, so I looked at one end of the spectrum, the other end is surgeon salary, which is averaging around about 55 grand.
Oh, very good. Okay.
It's not too bad, eh? Not too bad.
Strip club interviews, Zippia.com tells prospective dancers, quote unquote, to research the club and match your resume to what they're looking for. Complete the required background checks before applying. Man. I'm not going to lie. It's one of the biggest jokes of a website I think I've ever read. And I read a lot of shit for this podcast. I think it might just be a cult or something.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure. A guy bursts in and says that he needs Billy. Billy heads out but quickly returns. How far off being a surgeon are you? And how would you like to make 5K cash tonight? She has to operate on this hired goon called Rat, who's been slashed up.
Yeah, right. What a name. Rat. Yeah.
We see her leave the room, still in a skance, absolutely covered in blood and shaken. Back at her palatial apartment, by the way, she gets in the shower and cries. Sits the whole night with a baseball bat, and in the morning she gets a call from a woman asking for Dr. Mason. It's Beatrice is the caller. Mary just keeps hanging up on her. Student apartments, John, in Vancouver. All the student apartments on casista.com have been let, and the same with amberstudent.com. So I went to roomies.com, and you know exactly what this is, because I sent you this last night. Thomas is letting out a room for $500 Canadian with the following stipulations. Only interested in women who is 50 plus, no upper limit, who is open to share the space with a neat, kind and generally civilized senior male, eh? who's also a good cook, smiley face. Generally civilized is a red flag, listeners, if ever there was one. And stranger danger, because I've sent you the pictures, John. That looks like a fucking murder house, doesn't it?
It looks bad. It does look like something like a Netflix documentary, to be honest.
It looks like fucking Dharma lives there, doesn't it? <That's nice>. Jesus Christ.
I'm sure I've seen a picture with Bundy in the middle of that somewhere.
What, Al Bundy?
Aye, with his hand in his pants.
Oh, JPEG. She's been working at a free hospital, but she gets a call to say it's been closed down. No extra shifts. And the next thing we see, she's crying over this bottle of wine, which she's all poured into one glass. I love that tactic. Big fan of that tactic. And the cooked turkeys. No wonder she's got no money if she's been buying fucking Bernard Matthews' entire inventory.
I know. There was a lot of them, wasn't there? Sewing them all together.
Well, she said it's not an eating turkey, didn't she? It's not an eating turkey. On the subject of not an eating turkey, according to Peter, the website, not Peter, farmed turkeys are bred to have such large breasts that they can't mate naturally and sometimes can barely walk. Sounds fucking hot to me.
I'm in.
Turkeys are smart animals with personality and character and a keen awareness of their surroundings, says Oregon State University poultry scientist Tom Savage. Fuck off.
Nice.
Consider the turkey have found that when an individual turkey is removed from his flock, even in domesticity, he'll squawk in obvious protest until he's reunited with his posse. Posse. Nice. They relish having their feathers stroked. They dance when reunited with a person that they recognise. And the average life expectancy of turkeys is up to 10 years. But on factory farms, they're slaughtered when they're just 5 months old.
That's grim.
That's sad. Sad face.
That's grim.
That's what that is. Another turkey that you probably don't want to eat is the country of Turkey list. You can tell it's a fucking dry one, this.
Is it still called Turkey?
Just not in English. The national anthem is called İstiklal Marşı, or Independence March, and without meaning to offend a whole country of 85 million people who live in a country that was founded as a republic in 1923 and live in approximately 302,000 square miles, but it sounds like that generic circus music that you get in films.
Afro.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that one. Okay. That's me upset a whole fucking country that spans two continents. Wow. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time.
Nah, won't be last.
I don't know any other countries that span two continents, actually. Listeners, let us know, you smart asses. There's a ring at the door for a package, and when the door opens, it's the Lady Beatrice that's been calling. She offers Mary $200 just to hear her out. She says, "What do I look like?" She says, "Well, a little like Betty Boop." A little? Well, actually, it's uncanny. She's had 18 surgeries to look this way. She offers a $10,000 to help a friend who just wants some skin removed for cosmetic reasons.
Yep.
Beatrice,
I was going to look up Betty Boop. We've done Betty Boop before.
We have done Betty Boop. We did Betty Boop in the Who Framed Roger Rabbit episode.
Yeah, so I left it.
So I had a little bit because she was a flapper. Listeners,
flappers, right?
Okay. I can't say what I want. It's my podcast. Flappers were a subculture of young Western women in the 1920s who wore short skirts. Knee height was considered short at this time. They bobbed their hair and listened to jazz and flaunted their disdain for what was considered acceptable behaviour. So they were kind of like proto-teddy boys, weren't they, I guess?
So risky, though.
Yeah. The slang term flapper either comes from an earlier use in Northern England to mean teenage girl, I'm thinking slapper, or someone whose pigtail flapped on her back. But again, you know, you can say whatever you want. Betty Boop is also...
Or Snapper.
Red
Remember
Snapper.
That film? No Snapper? I'm sure that was a film.
I'm sure it wasn't. was it about someone with a camera?
No, I'm sure it's Irish, but I've never
checked. Okay. You do that. Betty Boop is a Serbian power pop girl band from Belgrade, John. They have a Wikipedia page, but I couldn't find any music. So Serbian power pop must remain a mystery to all of us, my dear listeners. Mm. I know.
Oh, it is a film. It's got Brendan Gleeson in it.
Oh, look at you, fucking film boy.
Well...
You're snapping them up.
That's why they pay me.
Beatrice's niece works at a vet's. They could use the hospital there after hours. I love that. She's so kind of like with it.
I had Terminator 3 vibes as soon as he says about the veterinarian.
The vets, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah. Beatrice offers Mary $2,000 just to show up. And when they arrive, Tessa is the niece. And this is the, I'm sorry, she's at that age where she's not high, she's a bitch all the time. Tessa, yeah, honey, don't be a cunt. Just so good. And again, it's Canadian, isn't it? You wouldn't get it in an American film.
No. As soon as you hear C words, you're like, this is American, probably American.
We meet the patient who has had a lot of surgeries. She has ruby real girl designs, and she just wants to be a real doll.
I can't disguise Mrs. Real Girl.
Okay. She doesn't want to be seen sexually. She doesn't want to be sexualized or degraded. She wants her nipples removed and her vagina sealed up as much as you can, pretty much.
Oh, mate, honestly.
I was like, is this the skin we live in, but she actually wants it?
Yeah, well, I'd looked all this up because I'd actually seen if it was proper procedures. But
on your work laptop?
No, there isn't. So all I could get close to was breast reduction, which costs $6,000 in the UK. Mm-hmm. But there's a vaginoplasty.
Yeah.
Which costs between $6,000 to $8,000. So that's the only two I could find. I actually Googled, can you seal up a vagina? Jesus, but then it kept through up all sorts of things. So
now you're on a register, of course.
Yeah, pretty much. I had to throw it into the Clyde.
I looked up to see if anyone had done the Ruby Real Doll thing. Yeah, loads of people. I found 4 real life Barbies, one from Russia, one from the Ukraine, one from Cincinnati, and wait for it, one from Bradford.
No way!
Oh, really?
That does.
Andressa Demani from Brazil, who has made herself a real life Elsa from Frozen.
I'll let it go.
Nice. Very good. Tick. I did miss one thing. I was wondering if this is how mob surgeons start out at strip clubs. I was very keen to know if that was the case. No, exactly. Couldn't find anything on that. But I found this from the Aesthetic Guide. In the 30s, when Prohibition made bootlegging big in the US, a plastic surgeon called Joseph Moran stirred up business by agreeing to stitch up mobsters and remove bullets for patients who had been shot, a common occupational hazard. He then agreed to remove the prints of Chicago gangsters Fred Barker and Alvin Karpis. This was marginally successful. Karpis had problems getting into Canada thanks to his lack of clean prints, but Moran didn't seem to realise he was swimming with sharks. After bragging that he knew an incriminating amount of detail about the Barker gang's activities, his body washed ashore in Ontario in 1935. Moran was missing his prints, but that was because his hands had been chopped off along with his feet.
Oh, sick. Jesus Christ, man.
The 30s, man. It was, yeah. It was
supposed to be.
We see the process, and afterwards Mary tells Beatrice not to give her name to anybody else. Beatrice explains she should want to put details on a body mods website. What do I put? Well, then make something up. Back in the hospital on the rounds, Mary's doing a great job of this faux explanation to the doctor. And the doctor, mm-hmm. Dr. Walsh, this one, isn't it? Dr. Walsh.
Yep.
On the rounds, tells her to speak to a family in the background. Says, tell them that the father's had a heart attack. She's like, okay. So she goes in and we see in the background in silence. When she comes back, how did they take it? Well, they were very sad. Okay, now go and tell them that he's died.
Oh.
I was like, what? And obviously we just see in the background all this while he's telling them to go on a break.
Worst episode of Scrubs ever, that one, wasn't it?
Arguably no, John. Arguably they were all bad, but it's my personal view that it's a way of pointing out she's very good at what she does.
Yeah.
Dr. Walsh tells her she'll make a fantastic slasher. She was like, what? He said, that's what we call surgeons. and owners of local supermarchés. Lock me up, Sergeant. I'm a slasher of prices. But previous episode, second ever episode of the podcast.
Yep.
Jesus, what were we thinking doing that as our second ever episode? We'd have been on like 200 facts, wouldn't we? Huh?
We edited that one, didn't we?
Did you edit that one, did you? Right. Okay. I think we did. There you go. Was it the first and last one you edited?
Yes.
She gets invited to this party at Dr. Yep. Grant's. And on a break outside the hospital, Beatrice shows up bringing a gift from Ruby as thanks. And Mary's just like mean to her. She doesn't want to be seen with her. But she's just kind. She just wants a pal. Says, maybe we'll get coffee sometime. And she's like, maybe we will. Which is really unkind. And going to the party, she takes the dress out of the box, and it's a dress that's been given from Ruby.
Super hot, man.
It's lovely, isn't it? Really nice.
Super fitted.
She pops it on, and then this causes her to look at Ruby's website, and she sees body mods, which freaks her out. She slams the laptop shut in shock, because that's how it works. Nice. That's how the internet works. Slam your laptop shut, and the internet goes on.
It all goes away.
And your dark web connection stops.
still plays a sound in the background, which is
annoying. She goes to this party, and it's, as the Americans would say, fancy, i.e. it's fucking disgustingly depraved expensive.
Fucking,
in it.
It was bleak, man. Right, I know it was a party, but it was kind of bleak.
Yeah, it was just men. Well, it was just men and one other woman. She talks to one guy. He's like, are you a surgeon at the hospital? I'm a fucking motherfucker!
I know.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, mate?
Says deal.
He's a fucking motherfucker. And later on, he's like, can you believe people let me cut people open? I was like, no, mate, I cannot. And how come all these surgeons are off this night? Who's doing the surgeries?
Who's doing the surgery, exactly? Yeah.
It's just the mobsters.
The guy, or the guy with the mop, walking about with his mop, cleaning up, going, oh, I might as well do this one as well then. It's like a brush up my ass.
Indeed. Walsh arrives and then goes to fetch Dr. Grant. Now, remember, this guy's her tutor. He's always telling her what a fuck-up she is and that. She tells Grant that Walsh is odd. And he's like, most microsurgeons are. I noticed you were doing better financially. New clothes, brand new stethoscope. And I was like, stethoscopes? Are they deer-like?
Did you check it?
Yeah, medtree.co.uk have a disposable stethoscope for sale for $1.99. And nice. At the other end of the scale, a digital one that sends the readout to your phone for £310. And it's got a faux copper finish on it.
That's kind of lazy, isn't it?
What's wrong with just fucking counting, mate?
I know. You can't heat up your phone, can you? Before you put it on.
No, I guess not. And there's training ones as well, which have got two of the earpiece things. So you can get close
like a
to your student.
Like
your headphones. Like the driver. Thing you plug in your headphones. Yeah.
Like dual clutch action.
Well, I was thinking what you plug your headphones in, but yes, that as well.
Oh, remember them? Jesus.
Yeah. Those were the business. This is where her vision starts to blur and Grant takes her to lie down in one of the rooms for holding her down and graphically raping her. It's not nice. I'll be honest, I watch a lot of shit for this podcast, but the two things I just can't bear and have to look away from is sexual assault, anyone, doesn't matter who's getting sexually assaulted, and murdering animals. If pets get murdered, you know what I mean?
Get out. Yeah. No. How are you at the beginning of this with the chickens then?
As soon as I'd learned about turkeys dancing, I was fucking out, mate. I was out. I decided I really fucking hated men after this.
Not all of us.
Hashtag not all Johns. But I'm gonna have my vaginoplasty, so I'll be all right.
Oh, good man.
The next morning, she wakes up next to Dr. Grant. She dresses herself and heads down in the lift. In her apartment, Mary trashes her place and we see her getting ready. She's paid Billy $5,000 to bring Dr. Grant and we hear him sobbing and he's taped down to the coffee table, which I kind of liked, with his mouth kind of like metal open, whatever that was. And Mary explains to him that she quit med school today because of his actions. She assumes he invited her because she was a prostitute. She explains that's not how she gets her money. She numbs his jaw and explains she's going into body modding. Tongue splitting, 3D implants, teeth filing, genital modding, and voluntary... I'd obviously written voluntary amputation, but my phone has changed it to voluntary amplification. Which I do not need. Mary explains it'll take her 14 hours to do it all in a wanna. And in the background, we hear Grant screaming. 3D implants in bones are usually made of titanium.
Yep.
But subdermal implants are what we see in the film. Dermis means skin, so subdermis means under the skin. Those can be 3D printed. Hey, Bart, your epidermis is showing.
The first nose piercing was documented, and mentioned in the Bible. So,
oh, right.
Body modifications has been going about for a wee while.
What did they use? A fucking rock?
An eel?
We see Mary later on welcoming this kid to get mods done. She shows him a menu and he explains he was hoping for piercings. She's like, get the fuck out. I don't do piercings. She kicks him out, which is pretty good. The world's most pierced man, John, is Rolf Buchholz, 61, holding a Guinness World Record for having a total of 453 metal piercings all over his body.
I was hoping you were going to say it was Pierce Brosnan.
Come on. Including 278 on his knob.
What?
I'm not going to lie, mate. I couldn't get two. Elaine Davidson is the world's most pierced woman. Can you guess how many she's got?
Oh, is this the thousands in it? Is it thousands?
6,005.
Jesus.
I mean, she must be a nightmare to go through after security. You know what I mean?
Especially, she took more, she's like a fucking human teabag.
The first recorded set of human horns belonged to American sideshow performer The Enigma, who had a couple of silicon nodules, installed beneath his jigsaw tattooed face.
Sounds like knob.
Doesn't it? He also holds the world record for the most jigsaw pieces tattooed on a person. 2,123. I assume the previous record was like 3.
I know.
Because he was like, I know what, I'll have loads of jigsaw pieces. I'm gonna have the world record for the most podcast, most 100 Things We Learned From Film podcast references on me. And I'm just going to get a tattoo with Blammo on it.
Blammo.
And I bet I'm the only person that's got Blammo on it. And they'll go, well, you mention that every fucking week. There you go. Uh-huh. Here's your record. It's better than putting 20 fucking brown M&Ms up your arsehole or whatever they do. I don't know. Did they still do the Guinness Book World of Records book at Christmas? Because that was your classic, wasn't it? You don't have to get some cunt, so you're getting one of them.
Just from other people's success and prove them to be a loser.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's all I always thought.
Look what all these great people have done, and you've done fuck all but sitting on the podcast. Yeah.
You're 43 years old and you can't even manage to do a podcast a week, you cunt. Outside, we see this detective approach Mary. A very British detective.
Yeah, but it's just
he was really British, but the actor's from Chicago. Hey, I'm from Chicago over here. He's like, I'm like a Bobby, innit, mate?
That was in pairs. Ah,
go blimey, Marie. He explains that Grant has gone missing. Can she help? She says she's not seen him since she quit med school. But he was always a pretty harsh tutor. Well, if you learn anything, you let me know.
Get me on the blower.
Yeah. Just ring 999. Don't know. At the club, we see Billy watching Beatrice, but he's imagining it's Mary. We all are.
Yeah.
She pours this pint of fake blood all over her. And when he comes to, he sees that Mary's there. But she's not here for him. It's Beatrice she wants to see. She's finally going for coffee against my wishes. And I'm like, fucking hell, mate.
It's only a fucking coffee, man.
Fake blood in films. I found a couple of American recipes, but all the measurements were in quarts, hands, roods and purchases.
Egypt.
Which, these measurement jokes for nobody. But I did find one that was easy that I understood. 1 cup of corn syrup, 2 tablespoons of chocolate syrup, and 8 drops of red food colouring.
That's the one I use.
That's, yeah. I had to use
for all my
blood.
Bloody needs.
She explains to Billy that the cop is after Dr. Grant, and she thinks Dr. Walsh has put him on the trail. She doesn't want him to do anything to Walsh, though. After they've got coffee, Beatrice takes Mary to Ruby's boutique. Ruby's out of town, but she sees pictures. She says, I didn't know Ruby had a boyfriend. Oh, Ruby's got lots of boyfriends. That's her husband. And you're like, all right, okay. That's not important. That's never coming back. Beatrice shows her a picture of the twins, and they own a body mob website. It's another body mob, isn't it? Why can I not get this right? Body mod.
Mod.
Fucking mod. Hell. You know, like that. Bellboy! On the body mob website. Bellboy! Oh, you killed my scooter! Or something. I don't know. And they also own a magazine. They want her to mod them. They arrive at the club, and it's, of course, the Soska sisters. One of them kisses one of the strippers before pretty much biting her tongue off. Which is pretty disgusting. And then throws her at like $1 or something.
It's a bit weird.
By the way, John, these German accents they've got, it's like fucking hello, hello, isn't it?
It's like they two Germans in Dude, Where's My Car, remember? They two Poindexters.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Yeah. Yeah, the money. We want the money. Oh, we cut off your Johnson.
I forgot about that.
I had also forgot about Curtin Johnson's. They want a candy apple martini, which sounds fucking rank, by the way.
Yeah.
So rank, I didn't even look it up. this pair, because they're twins, want to feel more connected. What do they want to do?
They want to swap arms.
They want to swap arms. Their left arm. And then they'll feel more connected. And she's like, how's Friday? Yeah, Friday is good. And this really weird, creepy grin between them. They give these this grin. Mary explains to Billy that she needs help on the procedure. Do you know anyone that's good? I know someone that's just awful. Which is really good. I like the thing. She puts them under, and they're holding pinky fingers, which is really cute, until they fall asleep. The guy helping is like, Germans, yeah, Dr. Mengele. She's like, what? He's like, twins, yeah. And I'm like, what is the fuck is that about? Joseph Mengele, we know what he did. Murdering Nazi scumbag. Not the podcast that's going to glorify his work. But I have some good news, listeners. He drowned in 1979 after suffering a stroke while swimming off the coast of Bortega in Brazil. Yay!
Oh, nice.
He was buried under the false name of Wolfgang Gerhard. I would have liked to have murdered him myself. I'm sure a lot of people would. But, you know, having a stroke and drowning in the sea is pretty fucking good.
Doing a breaststroke in the sea, never a good thing.
It's the turkeys. Their breasts are too heavy. It's the problem.
What do they weigh? Weigh!
Old bit gold. We've been cancelled yet. By the way, did you spot she was wearing this... these scrubs she was wearing, this red and black outfit, it didn't look like scrubs. It looked like she was Kitchen Nightmares or something, wasn't it?
It wasn't like a typical surgeon, although that material was scrubby, but I know what you mean. It was
look at this left arm, it's fucking raw. Or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty bad prosthetics, wasn't it?
The she takes the arm and you're like, what is that made out of? Just meat. We see her head to a lockup. Dr. Grant's there, missing all his limbs and hooked to the ceiling with these fucking suspension hooks.
Yeah.
It was good. It looked good.
Oh, no, it looked brilliant.
She's like, oh, do you want to scream? Well, you can't because your mouth's sewn shut. she's taking pictures for her website, and I love like how clueless she is. Yeah, because I've got to have a website, because that's what everyone has now, a website. I don't know, I guess they'll scan them or something. It's like, how do you not know? You're a student. How do you not know how this fucking works, mate? her work's getting better beyond what she's done to him. He starts sniffling. She's like, oh, really? So unattractive. I've absolutely no idea why she sounds like Frasier. Oh, really, Dr. Grant? It's so unattractive. I've fallen off the bloody stage. Just then, she gets hit by a security guard. While she's down, he's trying to get Grant down. But she gets back up, and she just fucking brutally stabs him to death. It's really brutal, even though we don't see a lot.
It's bad, isn't it? Yeah, it's just a lot of splattering going on.
He's like, hey, man, I'm going to get you down, and then I'm going to call the cops. Maybe call the cops first, yeah?
Yeah. Know the rules. There's rules.
She has a handful of near misses in this film. Like, this film could have been 30 minutes long.
Oh, yeah, since she went out, she
lives a fucking charmed life.
Yeah.
And then still at the end, you don't expect it, you know.
Weird attitude as well. You're like, you're a cunt.
Yeah, she is. And, you know, but the thing is, I think we're all kind of like, oh, she's really nice at the beginning. She's really nice to me. But she's only really nice for like 8 minutes.
Yeah, there's like, very small glimpses here. The rest is just her being a C word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Grant tries to crawl away. And all credit where it's due, he gets like 30 feet without any limbs. He's probably used his teeth to drag him across. And she tasers him to death, question mark?
Yeah.
Did I? Can you taser? She just gives him a quick blast and he's dead. Like, what's going on there? It's not a great death for Dr. Grant, especially after he saved all those kids from Jurassic Park. And next we see Billy. Yeah, he's killing someone with a bag on the head, which made me think of Manhunt, the game. You know, you always used to be able to get up with a bag over the head if you did it yourself. I loved that. Loved it and hated it. Back at the Real Girl Boutique, Ruby's getting ready and her husband sees the work she's had done and is horrified.
He is proper
because
horrified.
Because men, am I right? Because he has a right over her body.
Love his Turkish teeth, though.
He did have Gary teeth, didn't he? That's very true. At the club, Lance, this massive fuck-off bodyguard, who I've not mentioned for any reason yet, because he's not really anything, but he's always about. He looks a bit like Lemmy on steroids.
It does, doesn't he? That's what I was thinking.
He looks like Lemmy. He looks like
Lemmy crossed with Undertaker.
Yes, I was going to say Bane out of the Batman Forever. Batman Forever, Batman and Robin? Whichever one of those terrible Batman films.
The one has got Bane in it.
Yeah, that's the one of the same, because he wouldn't be Bane in the one that hasn't got Bane in, would he?
True that.
Plenty. Right. We're nearly there, listeners. We're getting to the finale.
The juicy.
He explains. Oh, he's bought Mary a burger. He explains that years ago, when his mom had a housebreak, she tried to batter the guy with an umbrella, but instead he battered her and left her in the hospital for 4 months. He says, "Don't ever devalue what you do. Make these guys pay for it." She says, "Is that milkshake?" "Yeah, I bought chocolate and vanilla." "You don't seem like vanilla." And I kind of that's good.
That's good.
I was kind of into that. The definition of Vanilla John is having no special or extra features. Ordinary or standard. Basic, as the kids would say today.
Oh, basic bitch.
Yeah, basic biatch.
I'm more of a Neapolitan.
I'm more of a, and this one's for Mono, Gino, oh Gino Janelli. Mono complained the other day that I'd made him think about Gino Ginelli ice cream for the first time in 20 years.
And oh, really?
He hadn't been able to get it out of his head for six days after listening to our Last Action Hero episode with Stig last week. Yes. So, fuck off, Mono. Back at Mary's, the twins are awake and happy. They leave her with this case full of cash. And she's moving to a new place.
Yeah.
A bigger place.
No shit.
Really? A fucking bigger place?
It's going to get any bigger than that.
I assume it's got a
hidden room as well. Because you had the hidden
room. Oh, yeah, it's got panic room, hasn't it? Yeah. I assume she's moving in with Thomas. It's Thomas's hidden room.
Oh, God,
where he
girls.
Keeps his murdered women.
Wilderness girls.
Murderous girls or something. We see a montage of her doing photos of previous patients, including a woman with love heart nipples and a guy that broke his dick by wanking whilst he had a Prince Albert.
Seen that.
And it's like, this is probably the most gruesome thing of all, because it's all, it just looks broken, doesn't it?
It just shows you it for a second. Like,
yeah, and she's like, yeah, here's some antibiotics and just fuck off. Just leave
yourself,
me alone.
You absolute wanker.
Yeah, literally, yeah. And he's all the time, he's going, well, maybe when it's healed, you know, we can take it for a ride, all this kind of stuff. The detective arrives to talk to her. He explains that Walsh is missing now too. Mary puts something in his water and he explains that they ran a sex party ring with girls being raped. He thinks she was at one of the parties. You just want to run away from it all, don't you, Mary Poppins? She takes his drink because the glass has a chip in it and gives him the not drugged one. Thank you for your hospitality, Mary. He leaves and she calls her Nana, but Nana is dead. Like she's missed a call. Like she's missed a call moments before. Hasn't she? As the copper comes in, moments before. Sorry, I missed your call, Nana. And then she's just like, oh, and puts the phone down. Nana is dead. And then she goes on to delete Nana's number instantly.
I know. That would
Now, famously, I do not cope particularly well with death, right? I have a very, very, just a big way of just forcing it all down and pretending it didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
Or just ignoring it. Is that how you deal with death? Is that the normal way to deal with death?
I don't know how they do it. The kids knew it. The
kids now. She's our age. This is 2012.
True. I think they just do a TikTok video about it and just.
All right, okay. Well, good on them.
They just TikTok about it.
The Chinese government at least know how they feel. That's fine.
True.
Mary heads to see Billy and explains that Walsh is missing. He admits very fucking quickly that he knows about it. Like, there's no kind of. He's just like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know it was me.
Aye.
They spot a barman taken from the till. And she's like, do you want me to help you with that one? Oh, no, we're just going to scare him. I can scare him, she says.
And
I was kind of like, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing this. And you don't see it.
But
instead, I've missed this bit where when she walks in on Billy, he's getting a blowjob from this new dancer.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And I didn't really get why she then goes into the bathroom and hunts this woman down and threatens her with a bone saw.
I think she was going to the club to actually have sex or do something because it was a bit of an extreme reaction.
Oh, right, okay.
Because
she was already in her. So she's catching feelings maybe and she's unhappy that this woman. Yeah. Did you see what weapon she used to have at the woman?
Is it the bone saw?
Yeah, it's bone saw! Oh, yeah, bone saw! By the way, surely one of the best performances in early superhero movies.
Annoying, isn't it?
Bone saw! Oh, yeah! If you want a bone saw, John, I'll skin your ass raw. $19.99 on Amazon.
Right.
I know we stopped using Amazon, but that's where we got your new microphone from. So we started using Amazon again. Because why not?
Bone saw.
Anyway, she threatens this lassie and then lets her go. Because whatever.
I know.
Later, Billy's watching a video of the interview he did with Mary. And the bit in the film where Mary dances and grinds on him is actually happening. And then she stabs him and we learn it's just a sick fantasy. At the end of the night, Mary comes back in and she and Billy share a drink. Do you think I'm crazy? No. He says Beatrice quit. She stopped answering the phone calls and hasn't been in. Billy invites Mary to go to LA with him.
Yeah, and leave it all behind.
Yeah, and this, have you ever been to LA? Do you like LA? I was like, what? And this thing, right? He's like, well, we'd go Seattle to Redding to LA. And I was like, okay, there's facts here somewhere. Seattle to Redding, California, is 594 miles, 9 hours and 23 minutes. Sounds like a fucking drive to me.
That is a...
But I guess in our respective relationships, we're the ones that drive and our wives don't. I was going to say our partners don't, but I can say wives now.
Our wives, yeah.
My wife.
She's very nice.
Redding to LA, 545 miles, 8 hours 31.
Right.
And then he says, or we could do Redding to Sacramento and then to LA. Redding to Sacramento is 162 miles, 2 hours 28 minutes. And then LA from Sacramento is 383 miles, 6 hours 6 minutes. If you want to do the whole thing in a oneer, it's 1,136 miles and is 17 hours and 38 minutes in total. Mary suggests, why don't you just get a plane? I think she had the right idea, because it's 2 hours 30 direct with 20 flights a day.
Just get the bloody plane, man.
Absolutely.
Ain't getting no plane! Ain't getting no plane!
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I've got something about that later, funnily enough. She declines. So back to her place, and her phone won't stop ringing. And I was like, it's that terribly annoying iPhone ringtone from the time. What's it called? So I went into my iPhone and went through all the things. And in your iPhone settings, at the bottom of the ringtones, there's a classic ringtones. And it's in there. It's called Marimba.
Marimba, that's
remember
the
one. Marimba? It's back. And my new ringtone. Marimba as my new ringtone. Yeah, because I'm so fucking... I'm so vanilla. I'm such a basic bitch. Beatrice says she's sorry. She's gasping for breath. We see her covered in corn syrup and chocolate sauce with red food colouring and crying. She explains that she had to tell someone who she was. And at that point, Mary gets attacked and stabbed by Ruby's husband, who, again, hasn't been in the film until moments earlier. Mary drags herself across the floor of her even bigger fucking apartment.
Yeah,
if she had a smaller apartment, she'd have lived.
I thought she would have been closer to the scalpels and shit like that.
She attempts to stitch herself up, which is fucking cool, by the way. But she doesn't manage it. We see the Peel Street Bobby arrive. Oi, I'm looking through your books, how I am. Oh, seeing the photos of Dr. Grant. It's great, the pictures of him that she'd used as a kind of a mods thing. We see Mary's corpse laid out on the white floor, covered in blood. And that's the film.
And that's the end of that chapter.
Did you have a time with it, John?
Do you know what? For what it was, for the budget and all that, I thought, do you know what? It's actually all right. It's watchable. But it's not as gruesome as I thought it was going to be. I don't know why. But I thought it was going to be a lot more gruesome. But it did leave a lot to imagination.
Yeah, no special effects. Not a single special effect in it.
All practical stuff. All
practical. All Mary's patients were portrayed by members of the real life body modification community. Have you got any more facts?
It takes round about a minimum of 8 years to become a general surgeon.
Ooh.
Rohypnol was developed to treat sleep disorders. I know, I just checked that out. Top songs that surgeons listen to while doing surgery. Rock You Like a Hurricane by The Scorpions. Okay. Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. I feel as if I haven't done a countdown. Just What the Doctor Ordered by Ted Nugent.
Jesus. It is.
Break On Through, The Doors. Paint It Black, Rolling Stones. Whole Lot of Love, Led Zeppelin. And We Will Rock You by Queen. And the most popular surgical procedures are a breast biopsy. This is really weird. Cesarean section. Okay. I don't think people would want to get that.
Well, no, I think a lot of people do. Too posh to push.
One of the things I noticed is he had a half bottle at the bar.
Yeah,
they don't sell half bottles. They can only have full
bottles. Oh, full size bottles for optics. Yeah.
Because if you buy a bottle from a pub, it can only be a full bottle. You kind of get half. So I don't know where he got that half bottle for.
Excellent.
And the final song was most probably a rip off from Rob Zombie.
All right. Okay. Good stuff. Thank you very much. A Swedish medical group in Seattle is looking for a full-time certified plastic and reconstructive surgeon, $400,000 to $560,000 a year. It's good money, but I'll tell you one thing you can't afford, a dinosaur. I also find that Bapras, who I think was the bloke that lived when Jesus died.
Is that not a footballer?
Oh, no, that was Barabbas.
Mbappe?
Barabbas. I mean, he didn't get on no goddamn plane, sucker.
B.A. Barabbas.
Very good.
Love it.
No, this mob are the British Association of Plastic Reconstructive and Aesthetic Surgeons. They have a microsurgery education fund for students that aren't allowed to stitch up hired goons.
Nice. Okay.
I think that's it. Just make sure there's nothing else. Oh, the Bourbon A Go-Go. The club's called the Bourbon A Go-Go, by the way. Fucking hell. A rip-off, of course, of the Whiskey A Go-Go, a very famous club on West Sunset Boulevard, West Hollywood. But the first one opened in 1958 in Chicago, which is where all the British police are from. And this one opened in 1964, followed by one in Georgetown, Washington, D.C., which opened, John, in 1966. The last time the capital had a blues club.
Not again.
Some point, somebody says, this is your Sistine Chapel. I can't remember who it was. Is it maybe the big guy says, you know, your work is your Sistine Chapel? The Sistine Chapel, of course, is famous for one big thing. When everyone talks about it, they're talking about the ceiling, which, of course, was painted by Michelangelo, Donatello, mm-hmm. Leonardo and Raphael weren't available for comment. It took him 4 years between 1508 and 1512. You've got to feel for the architect because he's never mentioned. Well, until tonight, we're going to change that here today. Bacchio Pontelli, this is your life. It opened in 1508 and is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Kind of like New Lanark, but shit. Obviously, New Lanark is amazing. Final thing, on the 12th of January 1998, Felix Gretterson, an electrician, was working on a high voltage power line when 11,000 volt surge burned his hands and flung him to the ground. He sustained multiple fractures and internal injuries and went into a three-month coma, during which surgeons amputated both his arms. In 2021, he was the first person to ever have a double arm transplant. And I'm just hoping that they weren't both left hands.
No, I know half, otherwise, what's he going to do with his thing?
It'll just feel like someone else is doing it.
He's going to play darts.
Very badly. Backwards. I think this film gets no fucking attention when Human Centipede gets all that attention and fuck all happens in that. At least this has got a story. Human Centipede never a story.
Nothing. They just
it's got three dead dogs stapled together.
Aye.
I wouldn't mind being the Human Centipede with fucking Mary anyway. Cut that.
No.
John, how many do you think we got?
78.
Oh, it's a little bit higher than that.
79?
It's higher than that.
87.
Oh, John, 86. 86 things. Fantastic.
Ship for the stars.
Absolutely. If you like what we do and said, please give us a quid and we will give you a shout out, which I am going to do. Post-edit Mark is going to be coming in your ears in a moment or two.
Hello. This is the Planty that's got a little bit more of his shit together. So, patron shout-outs. This episode is going to be dedicated, of course, to my wife, Rachel, because without her, we would never have done this particular film. I know it's one of her favourites. Del Metcalf, he needs a job. Somebody pay him. Ali Metcalf, she's his wife. And Sugar Mama, what a girl. Also shouting out Phil, Ian, Emily, Gav, Jenna, James. Oh, and Megan. Podcast people, not to be confused with pod people, but it is kind of like a cult. I said cult. Gadget, Biggie and Stig, at Modern Escapism. Modern Escapism podcast, actually where I get my news, which is what makes me the most poorly informed non-Tory voter in the UK today. This week, Stig sings the news song and then begrudgingly actually reads out the news. Josh Wilson got sexually assaulted by a chair this week. Listen to Super Familiar with the Wilsons to find out if he came or not. Dan and Gavin Belson from the Be There with Belson podcast. Dan asked Jim will fix it. To fix it for him in the 90s. Did he get fixed good? You'll have to listen to find out. Hallmark of Greatness, we're talking Wolf Cop this week. It's barely a film. But then, isn't it always barely a film? Mono and Kira are back with more The Boys in the shape of Gen V, the TV show, which is basically The Boys Goes to College. It's much better than I make it sound. The podcast isn't, though. I mean, that's as shit as I say it is every single week. Maria and Ian have finished Ashoka. Ashoka. I know I should have finished it as well, but podcasting's a really full-time job when you're as bad at it as I am. So go listen to their chats about that on their podcast, Bantha Liberation Front. Lovely Rob Jones and I are going to be doing a very fun radio show soon. Most exciting, but top secret. But also, I'm really excited about it. Even though I never messaged you back, Rob. Sorry. Paul and Sophie at SP Film Viewers are talking about Ghostwatch. It's good timing because it's getting parky out. Parky out. Parky. Punk, at What the Fuck Do You Want? 2.5 star cunt. And friend to all the podcasters that will pay him, Nigel Davis at the Wonder Emporium, is making keyrings, toys, models and other fantastic stuff that lovely podcasters should likely want to stock for selling to their listeners. Hit him up at Wonder Emporium on Facebook or drop me a DM and I'll put you in touch. Right, back to you, Plenty.
Thanks, Plenty. if nice. You so if you like what we do, give us a quick patreon.com /100thingspod possibly, just Google, or if you go to 100thingswelearnedfromfilm.co.uk, you will be able to find our Patreon and all of our different bits and pieces that we are doing there. John, I've had fun with this one. I hope you have. Say something lovely to our wonderful listeners.
Groovy.
Your new microphone, by the way. Yeah, we got John a new microphone because we asked the listeners for some advice on what they liked that we did and what they thought we could do better. And Ali, who's one of our patrons, went, "Get a better microphone for John. It sounds like he's in the fucking bath."
Therefore, yeah. So,
but the joke's on you, Ali. John's always in the bath.
Just sitting here, peeing in the bath right now.
Yeah, and we've also set up a new account with Squadcast as well, which we actually paid money for. It's the first time we've ever paid money to actually record something in 3 years of doing the podcast.
We've managed to blag at this all this long.
So we've finally done that. So we've finally put your Patreon money to work on a new microphone and his. So give us some more money because we've got no fucking money now.
We've got no fucking money. Give us your money.
Give us all your fucking money. John,
we're the Dale and Rodney of podcasting.
This time next year, John, we'll have 500 listeners.
We'll be stitching together chickens.
Sounds hot. Say something nice.
Something nice.
Oh, fuck. he's been John. I've been Plenty. And this has been 86 Things We've Learned from our spoopy episode, American Mary. See ya.
See you guys.